Tonight we're just going to review real briefly the things that Jesus said about truth, its importance, and then we're going to consider the Apostle John, what he said about how important truth is. As we turn to Scripture, I invite you to turn along with me. I am using a New International Version, but I think you can probably follow along no matter what version you like. And I would just encourage you, I'll give you time to find the passages. Let me just review a little bit first. The word truth is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 105 times. Of those 105 times, 80 times, it's Jesus saying this sentence, "I tell you the truth." It's like he was known for his truthfulness, and he wanted to be known for that. He wanted to emphasize the importance of truthfulness. Several times, Jesus warns us, watch out for false prophets. Several times, he makes it clear that they are going to come. With the Word of God. You know, if we're not studying it, if we're not discussing it with one another, if we're not, I think we need to be in Sunday school and in worship faithfully every Sunday, in Bible study during the week, personal Bible reading and considering and study of the Scriptures during the week. It's very important. I shared this morning two truths about truth, and I want to repeat them. Number one is the best way to identify a lie is by being very familiar with the truth. And so this is one way that we cannot let our guard down. If we're very familiar with the Scriptures, very familiar with especially the basic truths of Scripture, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, if we're not very familiar with that, how are we going to be able to identify it when someone just perverts it a little bit or someone changes it around? We need to be very familiar with the Word. The second truth about truth that I wanted to share: when you stop exclusively respecting the truth, you start allowing for and respecting a lie. I think it's very, we could see these as principles about truth. It's important that we understand them. Going on, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." There is a relation between Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. They go together. You cannot have life without Jesus as the way and the truth. The night before he died, Jesus prayed for his followers, and he prayed to God in John 17. He prayed, "Sanctify them," concerning the believers. He said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." When he prayed that, the word sanctify means to set apart. So he was saying, set apart the believers from the unbelievers. By what? By truth. He's saying truth is this important. The truths of Scripture, it is essential that we understand them. Because we will. Jesus prayed. He asked God, sanctify them, separate them, divide them, the believers from the unbelievers, by truth. And then he emphasized that his word is truth. He also made it very clear. I'll ask you to turn to John 8, if you would. 8th chapter of John, we read this morning. I'm just going to scan through it this evening. John 8, verses 31 and 32. And as we read this, keep in mind this is the teaching of Jesus himself. This is not my idea. I am not coming up with some idea about what Jesus said about truth. I'm merely passing on passages that you've read many times before. In John 8, beginning with verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I appreciated the song that this young man sang tonight about sweet Jesus and how precious Jesus is. And if we want to be his disciple, we must hold, grasp, adhere to, love, cherish, hold to the teachings of Jesus. He went on, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. He says, then you will know the truth. You can't know the truth unless you hold to the teachings of Jesus. But he goes on, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we took time to read on the chapter, we would find that he's talking about being set free from sin. He's talking about being set free from the penalty of sin. And someday, even the presence of sin, when he returns and sets up the kingdom on this earth. The only freedom that we can have is through truth in Jesus Christ. And that is how important it is. Now I'll ask you to turn to 1 John, if you would, toward the end of the New Testament. We want to consider what the Apostle John has to say about truth. And we're going to find it in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to start in 1 John, the second chapter. And we'll read verses 20 through 27. Keep in mind, this is the beloved disciple. It is the one who is especially close to Jesus. This is the Apostle John. And this is what he writes. 1 John 2, beginning with verse 20. He writes, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." And I should mention, he's writing to the church. He's writing to believers. It's not just a general letter to the world. This is to believers. "You have an anointing from the Holy One." The Holy One would refer to Jesus Christ. The anointing I would understand to be the Holy Spirit, the power of God promised in Acts 2:38 to all baptized believers. He says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." Now keep in mind, again I'll mention, he's not writing this to everyone. He's writing this to believers. He was confident they had heard from the beginning the true gospel. And so to them he says, "See that you hold on to that. Don't waver. Don't stray. Don't listen to anything else." Now to someone who has heard a false gospel, a perverted gospel, a wrong gospel, which is really no gospel at all, as the Apostle Paul said, and we'll look at that tomorrow night, but someone who has heard that, they should not hold on to what they heard from the beginning. They do need to change. They do need to learn and to catch up and to understand the true gospel that Jesus came preaching. At any rate, going on. "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. If we maintain the gospel of Jesus Christ, then," he says, "this is eternal life." This is how precious these truths are. "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." Even back then, even in the early church, this was written toward the end of the first century. There were people trying to lead them astray. He says, verse 27, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you." We don't need to. Now, this doesn't mean that we know everything. It doesn't mean that anyone knows everything. But it does mean that we don't need to go following after anyone that does change or pervert or distort the gospel, the teachings that Jesus said you must hold on to in order to be my disciple. So he's saying you don't need to follow after these others, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. The remain in him refers back again to the Holy One back in verse 20. These truths are so important, and we must not allow them to be changed or to be perverted. John wrote to his readers here because they already knew the truth. He wanted to encourage them in it. He wanted them to exalt it. He wanted them to understand, to realize how important, how precious the truth is. He notes that no lie comes from the truth. Lies and truth don't mesh. They don't work together. They can't go hand in hand. We need to be able to recognize a lie that is taught. Remember this morning when we considered the teachings of Jesus, he talked about, he warned, he said, there are going to be sheep, or there are going to be ferocious wolves, he said, dressed up to look like sheep. We need to beware. We need to have our eyes on the lookout. He asks also, who is the liar? Well, anyone that denies that Jesus is the Christ. This was one of the lies making the rounds in Jesus' day. Some said that Jesus was not the Christ. Some said that he was just a good man. Some said that it was like there was something that pre-existed in heaven that came down to the man Jesus at his baptism and then left before he died, because whatever this was eternal and unable to die, and it was just all messed up. And John says this perversion is antichrist, against Christ. We need to beware. You know, John couldn't cover all of the perversions that would come about in the religious world. And so he's giving some example of what they were dealing with then. But we today must still be on the lookout against untruth. He also clarified that the Son and the Father are a package deal. You can't have one. You can't have Jesus without God. And you can't have God without Jesus. They go together. And notice the correlation between proper doctrine and eternal life. He says, hold on to what you have heard from the beginning. And if you notice there at the end of verse 27, where it talks about the anointing that you have, he says, it's real, not counterfeit, implying that there is a counterfeit anointing, that there would be a counterfeit spirit that could influence and take over in people's lives. Let's go on to 1 John 4. It's probably just across the page or so. 1 John 4, we'll look at the first six verses. The Apostle John continues. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He clarifies what he's talking about by testing every spirit. He's talking about powers, he's talking about teachers, he's talking about teachings, because he warns us about false prophets. And then he continues on. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. And the good thing, the neat thing about this is, he doesn't just say, well, watch out for false spirits or teachers, and he doesn't give us any way to know, well, what's false and what's real. He proceeds to give us two tests, two ways by which we can determine what is a false spirit and what is the true spirit. Let's read on. This is how, verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a man, is a real human being. Back then there was, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Gnosticism. It was, the idea means knowledge or special knowledge, and there were many that thought they had some special inside knowledge about how all this thing about Jesus came about, you know, and this is the idea about how something came down from heaven and entered into Jesus, and this was eternal, but Jesus the man wasn't, and it was Jesus the man that died, but not the eternal thing that was inside him. And it's just all really confusing. That teaching denied that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. That teaching felt that flesh, that anything material is evil and wrong and bad, but everything that was spirit was good, and the whole thing was perversion. And John calls it Antichrist. At any rate, he says, here's one of the tests. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Even back then, I mean, that early, there were false teachings, false doctrines, that were just getting a foothold, that have developed over the centuries. John warned them. Jesus said, be on guard. We need to continue to be on guard because these ideas have even further developed now. He goes on in verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. And I would assume that this would be the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, other leaders that were to be well trusted. He says, we are from God, and here is test number two. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. If people will listen and understand and believe the teachings of the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul and Jude and James, if they will listen, than they are of God. But if they will not listen, if they pervert those things, if they change them, then they are not. That is spirit of falsehood. Let's go to 2 John. 2 John, we're just going to read the first 11 verses. It's almost the entire chapter, but it's short. He emphasizes truth in this short letter. 2 John, verse 1, the elder, that refers to John, to the chosen lady and her children, and we're not exactly sure to whom this refers. It could be just the church in general. It might have been a specific woman and her children. It might have been a house church. We're not exactly sure. But he goes on and says, the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, who will be with us in truth and love. He goes on, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. Now, as I understand it, to walk in the truth is more than just to believe the truths. And those who talk about the importance of truth, I don't think would ever say that it's just a head thing, that it's just an intellectual relationship with the Bible or with God. To walk in the truth is essential. That is to not only believe the truth, but to live it, to respond to it, to experience it, if you will, to act upon it. He said, it's given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we had heard from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience. First he talked about walking in truth, now he's talking about walking in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Truth, love, and obedience go together. It's a package deal. If we truly walk in truth, if we take pride, and I think we can and should take some amount of pride in knowing and believing and being proponents of the truth, but we must also walk in love and walk in obedience, because they all go together. But he went on. He warns many deceivers who did not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Same thing he had written about in 1 John. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And I might mention, you know, what he's giving this test. Those who would deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. And I would ask, if there is anyone who would say that Jesus is fully God, how can they say that he has come in the flesh? To say that Jesus is fully God is to deny that Jesus came in the flesh. It's simple, it's clear, it's black and white. It draws a tight and a hard line. But I think we need to understand that that line is there. And Jesus drew the line. The Apostle John drew the line. Tomorrow night we'll discover that the Apostle Paul drew the line. And I think it's so important that we realize that it's not this church that's trying to draw that line, and it's not me coming up with this idea. These are the teachings of Scripture, and we need to abide by them. He goes on to say, any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He says, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, and I would liken to this to someone who philosophizes, if I can say that word right, someone who just, they think too much, and they try to kind of weasel around the teachings of Scripture and make them fit with some of man's ideas, and that's running ahead. It's just getting out of the boundaries of the teachings of Christ. But he goes on to say, anyone who does that does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And now in verse 10, he says something very strongly. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. I know that you're already aware of this passage, and I would assume that you're familiar with the application of it. This would mean you would never invite someone to preach from this pulpit, or someone to teach in your Sunday school class, or someone to teach your children. That you would not invite them into your house to teach or to be a proponent for that which is not within the doctrine of Christ. These things are important. He goes on in verse 11 to say, anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Again, we see how important it is. He says, we must not do that. We've got to have our guard up. We've got to watch out for the false teachers, for the false prophets. And then he goes on to say, don't have anything to do with them. Don't in any way support their ministry or their teachings. Because if you do, you share in their wicked work. It is a wicked work to teach deceitful teachings, to teach lies. And we need to be aware of that and understand that. Let's just skip over to 3 John, and we'll just spend a couple of minutes, or maybe 1 minute. We'll look at the first 4 verses there, because John continues with his teaching about the importance, the essentiality of truth. 3 John, first 4 verses. The elder, that's the Apostle John, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. And notice what he says in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It thrilled John. You know, as he worked with different peoples and different groups of believers, it thrilled him to hear the news, you know, from this group over here and from this group and from those back there. It thrilled him to hear that they were walking, that they were faithful to the truth, because he knew how important it was. There was false doctrine even that early in the history of the church. Truth is important. And this is according to Jesus, and it's according to John. And someone might ask, but does it really all matter all that much? You know, as long as someone loves Jesus, as long as someone says Jesus is Lord, I guess it is all that important. Those, you know, that sentence, Jesus is Lord, doesn't do it. Because we also have to believe and be faithful to and walk in the truth. This morning I shared 4 questions, and I'm going to repeat them again. These are 4 questions that I think that we should be familiar with that would help us to determine, to discern whether a teaching or a ministry or an article, a teacher, is walking in, believing, teaching the truth. Question number 1, is there a biblical basis for their teaching? Is it based on the Bible? It's got to pass that test. Number 2, is their teaching based on just one or a few unclear passages? You can sift through the Bible and you can find a verse here or there that might have been spoken to someone else about something entirely different, but you can twist it around and make it apply, and yet it's very unclear, and yet I've seen and heard people build a lot on one or a few unclear passages. And so anytime someone's making something really big out of something that's really unclear in Scripture, we need to back off and beware. 3rd question, is their interpretation consistent with the rest of Scripture? You're not going to find anything in 1 Timothy that contradicts what Paul said to the church in Galatia. You're not going to find anything in Matthew that is inconsistent with what is found in Mark or in Romans or what have you. It's got to all be reconciled somehow or other. It's got to all tie together and be consistent. And number 4, does their teaching go against reason or logic? Anyone that comes up with a teaching that sometimes is going to be described as a mystery. It's something, well, we just don't understand it, but this is the way it is. Well, if we don't understand it, and if no one can explain it, where did it come from? It's got to be based on the Bible. It's got to work with reason and logic. It's got to be consistent with the rest of Scripture. And it's got to be a solid teaching, not something that's just very unclear. Well, we talked this morning about what Jesus said about the importance of truth. We've looked at some of the highlights of what the Apostle John said about the importance of truth. Tomorrow night, we'll look at a number of passages. But the Apostle Paul, the things that he wrote about the importance of truth. And between the 3, Paul said a whole lot more about it and a whole lot more stronger. I encourage you, be with us tomorrow night. And I realize this is a long week. You've got to go to work tomorrow. Some of you have been to conference for a week and meetings and things. And now we're asking you to come back every night. I realize it's a rough week. And I realize the sacrifice that you'll make to do that. But I encourage you, let's spend this time studying the Word, understanding the importance of truth. And let's do that together.